What's happening, my debt-free millionaire zealots? Hey, Zach Edwards here for another episode of the Debt-Free Millionaire Podcast and Personal Finance Course. That's right. Today we are talking about savings. Why do you want savings? Okay, so what is savings? Let's start with that. Savings is basically any money that you put away for another day. So it could be something that you use 2 days from now. You're still saving it from not using it right away. But that's not real savings. Real savings is something that you actually have an intended purpose for. And so you put it in the background. Everything from an emergency fund, which is essential. You want to have what's called an emergency fund. It's basically money that you put away for a, quote unquote, emergency. Now, what is an emergency? Okay, an emergency could be something like you go to the hospital for some reason. You have a tooth that's knocked out and you need money to be able to put it back in. You have something that comes up with one of your kids. There's so many different things that you could use an emergency fund for. Your furnace goes out and you don't have other money to help take care of that. And the big one, the one that I've been affected by, as you all know my story, is I lost my job. Because I lost my job, I had to use my savings and start going to using that so that I could stay afloat, which means stay being able to pay my bills. Again, my fixed expenses, which were every month. At the time, I had just purchased a house probably like 6 to 8 months before. And I also had other things like medical expenses, and because I had to have medical insurance with my background in with my heart, as you already know. I had to also, my dog is a brat. Out of here. Go. I will talk to you later. Okay. So emergency funds can be for a lot of things. Now, when you can, this is what you want to do. An emergency fund, you want to be able to have enough money to last 4 to 6 months of unemployment. Say you're not working for 4 to 6 months, this emergency fund is supposed to be able to take care of you during that time. Now, it's not 4 to 6 months worth of revenue. So I'm making $4,000 a month, so that means I have to have times six, that's $24,000. No, what do you spend money on? You want to be able to survive for 4 to 6 months without any other help. This, again, is why we're talking about self-reliance. We want you to be reliant on yourself, not hoping for the government's going to come bail you out, or you can get all your food from the food bank. Because even if you can, which is a good thing, food bank is there for people that can't afford it. What about your other expenses? So these 4 to 6 months are to help you make some time before you can find a new job. That's why an emergency fund is so important, because like I had when I was unemployed for about 5 months, and I had not saved up like I was supposed to. Nobody told me that I was supposed to save up 4 to 6 months worth of emergency fund. So we probably had a few thousand dollars in the bank account, and that went through very quickly. It was gone before it even really started. But what I could have done is if I actually had an emergency fund, I would have been able to provide for my family a lot more than I did. And that's why on that day where I basically had every credit card maxed out and all my savings depleted, I fell to my knees and I finally started praying about it. And that's when, hey, look at that. I got a job that same day. Now, that does not always happen like that. But I was grateful that I was able to survive as long as I did. Again, 4 to 5 months before being able to find a job. Because every job was taken. There was not jobs out there in 2008. Because all the people that were laid off the first time got the jobs that were nice jobs. The ones that were let off in the second layoff, they got all the leftovers. And by the time the third layoff, when I got out, there were no jobs left. I couldn't even get a job at Home Depot, which I was plenty qualified for. And actually, their excuse was I was overqualified. What's that supposed to mean? How do you get overqualified for a job? Holy cow. At the same time, if I had an emergency fund, I would have had 4 to 6 months worth of all of my expenses, and that would have gotten me through. So that's what savings is. Savings is saving money for something that's in the future. You want to actually have a name and a place for every dollar that you save. The reason is because when it has a name, when it has a reason, you're less likely to spend it until that point. Actually, I like to put it into multiple savings accounts. So every month when I get my paycheck in, automatically a certain amount is withdrawn through like digital means. I program it in, and my bank account, my larger bank account, gets pulled out, and it goes into these smaller funds. There's like a vacation fund. There's an automobile fund. There's anything you could think of, anything that you want to save for in the future, and then the emergency fund. The emergency fund is a big savings account, which is drawn out of your paycheck. Not your paycheck. After your paycheck is deposited in your account, then it's drawn from that area. Okay, so let's go through some of these things that you can create savings accounts for. You can save it for, well, of course, as we said, an emergency. And emergencies come in all different ways. It's basically a help me. So I can hit the button and have money to afford certain disasters that happen in my life. Laid off, furnace, all those things. This is the big one. As you know from my history, I've had times where I had my stomach cut open because my intestines were eating each other. A little bit too much information, right? They were actually going inside. So the smaller intestine was being sucked into the bigger intestine and they had to pull it apart. That was part of my emergency fund. Luckily, I had insurance, but the emergency fund, and this is after I got laid off, the whole 2008 thing, I was able to be taken care of because I had started an emergency fund. So what about this? Do you guys want one of these? Yeah, a sports car or maybe an SUV or a certain kind of car that's really expensive? Well, don't buy it from cash. Don't buy it from your paycheck. Save up for it. Create a savings account so that you can actually afford it in the future. This means you're putting together, what, $5 a month, $10 a month, $100 a month. And you put in an account until you have enough money in that account to buy it for cash. And yes, you might say, well, I just want to have down payment for this car. This thing is not a want. Remember, we were talking about being intentional in life. This is not a want. This is a need. Ha, sorry. Opposite. This is not a need. This is a want. Yeah, you wish that was a want, a need. Okay, but an automobile, a clunker is a possible need. A sports car is a want. So that's the big difference between this. You want to make sure that your money that you're savings is very important to you. You're doing a lot of time and effort and waiting for this money to get large enough so you can buy things like a sports car. If you want to buy this one, you're going to be spending or saving $1,000 a month at least in your bank account because it's going to take you about 100 months to get to this sports car. Okay, yeah, about $100,000 for some of these sports cars. 60 to 100,000. Either way, it's 60 months if you spend $1,000 into your savings account. But here's the big thing. But then that is free and clear and you own the whole thing. You don't have to pay a bank for it. You don't have to be slave to that car. You know what's really interesting? I actually had a lot of responses to my statement of slavery. Some were a little bit negative. The fact that I was comparing debt to being a slave. But as I was stating a while ago when I was talking about slavery, I'm not talking about African American slaves. There are slaves all over the world right now. There are no more slaves in the United States, but there are slaves in the United States. So they're not like African American plantation worker slaves, but there are sex trafficked people. There are other slaves, like literal slaves. Brazil still has slaves in different ways. All these different countries have different types of slaves. Africa has slaves as well. There are slaves still in the whole world. And so what we are stressing is that we want you to be outside of the ability for anybody to own you. And yes, I do say own you because if they own your house, if they own your car, if they own everything that's inside your house, they own you and you're living to pay off that debt. So what happens if you stop paying off that debt? They take it all back. It does not belong to you unless you actually pay cash. Anybody that has these amazing cars that you're watching on YouTube, one, they're either renting them or even borrowing them for a day so they can make their stupid video, or they are leasing them or buying them with a big payment every month. So who owns those? It's not that person. It is 100% not that person. It is the person who actually owns it because they paid it with cash. The bank owns everything that you owe them money for. Your house, the bank owns it. Your car, the bank owns it. Everything that's in your house that you paid with a credit card, the bank owns it. Because they can foreclose on your house. They can repossess your car. They can't grab things from your house, but they can go after you in collections and destroy your credit so you won't be able to borrow from anyone else. And they won't have to suffer, of course, I do that in air quotes, suffer like the bank did that you didn't pay up your the amount that you promised you'd pay. Now, when I was in the airport and I did my podcast there, I made a specific point. This is something that for everyone that should know when they're going to pull out debt. If you don't think you're going to be able to pay that debt off, especially if something happens in the future, then what is your word worth? What are you worth? Are you going to sign on the dotted line and someone can actually trust that you're going to pay back what you do? Or is your life a facade where you don't think you're going to pay it back, especially if, hey, things go wrong in business. Oh, the bank will take my houses and I'll just start over again. But no harm, no foul. And my personal stuff is separate. Well, it might be legally. Your personal assets might be separate from your business assets. But your word is what's tainted now. Your ethics is tainted now. And because you've gone through all those things, people won't trust you. So buying with cash means you never have to worry with that. So saving up for this sports car, or maybe, there you go. This is a slide I was going to talk about with creating savings accounts, different savings accounts for different things that you want. But a car like this, you can make a savings account to save up for that car. And then you don't have to be the slave to the lender. You don't have to be a slave to the bank, to a, what were the other ones I gave? The car lenders, the dealerships, whoever you borrow the money from, those are the people that own you. Do you want to be owned? Do you want to be owned by your mom if you borrow money from your family? Do you want to be owned by a bank? Do you want to be owned by a mortgage company? Or do you want to be a free man, a free woman? This is why we're doing what we say. And so this is so important that you actually watch what you spend. You separate it so that everything you want, any big purchase you want, has a savings account and you slowly work to it. And the reason why, another reason why, is because everything that you buy will mean so much more because you actually waited for it. You worked for it. You didn't just throw it on a loan. It's like, oh, well, it's not that big of a thing. I'm just going to get a little bit of a loan. I'm just going to have this over my head for the rest of my life, or at least 30 years when it comes to a house. So we're going to try to get you out of that whole mindset first, because you don't need to buy a house with a large loan. You can buy part of it with a loan. You can buy some of it with a loan. You can also buy it without any loan and do it with cash. Then nobody owns you. But that's basically what this is. The dealership that sold me this, and I got the loan out from that dealership, they own me. I don't want that. But here's another reason for savings. I have an account. It's called Vacation. That's right. So every year, I save $100 a month. I think it's $100 a month, yeah, for a vacation. Now, that's not much. In a year, I have $1,200. But what if I don't spend it all this year and I spend part of it next year? Great. Then I have $2,400 or whatever's left of the last one plus another $1,200. Great. Now I can go on a fairly good vacation. If I'm married, though, maybe I put in $100. My wife puts in $100. And it accumulates more and more and more until we go on vacation. And then it means so much to us that we actually put the time and effort and wait for that money to actually accumulate, that we're actually watch how much money we spend on the things that we're doing. So I can have this. That's right. That's my dream vacation. Except I don't know if I'll last because I like business too much. I like working. And so this, it would be good for a little bit of time. It'd be good between doing things. Wouldn't that be great? Being able to be nomadic and work remotely from a place like this. Maybe you have a savings account that says nomad. And Nomad means it's plane tickets to a certain place and a little bit of wiggle room as you're still earning money as you work remotely. That would be amazing because then you can do things like this. Whoa, that would be awesome. A sunset in the water with a person that you love or a person that you just want to hang out with or a group of friends where you're just paying for one person. That's it. That's great because then you don't have to pay for everyone else. So I have a savings account for vacation. Now, as you know, I have six kids and my wife and I like to go visit places. So we don't fly everywhere. We actually drive, which saves us a ton of money. And we get to see more of the world. So we don't get to see just Kansas City and LA. We get to see everything between Kansas City and LA, including like the Grand Canyon. As we drive through, we get to see all these different places, stay in new places, experience new things, eat new foods everywhere we go. And yes, so that does whittle down the amount of money that we save. But we plan out so we can take trips that we know we can afford. And so it becomes so much better that we don't have to hope that we have enough money. But here's another one. What about saving money to invest? That's right. I don't have a bank account like this. I'm actually planning to put a bank account like this. But how about a bank account to invest your money? So this guy, is drinking his coffee, looking at his stocks and seeing where things go. So if he had a bank account where he was saving little bits of money, say 10, 20, especially when you're starting out, $10, $20, $30, and you don't spend it right away. You are waiting for a certain investment. Figure out what that investment's going to be. See, for me, my new investments are no longer crypto because I have money in there. It's not stocks. I have money in there. My 401k, it's taken out by my bank account or by my paycheck, from my paycheck. My house, it's already paid for. So what do I want to buy? I want to buy investment properties and other things. And so we're going to walk you through that and how to take that savings and turn that into cash money revenue every month. A whole lot more than you would just by keeping in the savings. So we don't want to keep you keeping in savings for a long time. We want you to actually pull that money out at some point and invest it in wise investments. So, but we also don't want you to have to do this, where you actually have to break the bank, break your piggy bank, just to find the little scraps of money because you weren't saving from the very beginning. See, if we do this, if we break the bank or scrounge up any kind of funding that we have because we weren't smart and saved money for the future, there's not going to be much there. And what happens the next time we have to break the bank? There's no money there whatsoever, and our bank's already broken, shattered, million pieces. No way of getting out of it. But that's the thing. If we have a savings account, great. We have an emergency fund. We have money going into there. Make sure that you're intentional, though. If I have a savings account, I want money to be constantly going in there. A small amount every month. But at least something is going in there. And don't touch it. Don't touch it because you want to be able to have that money in there for one, a rainy day. Or if you can, create separate accounts for all those big purchases you want to make. Now, here's the thing. When people get, let's say, a tax refund, what do they do? What's the first thing they do? It's not savings. The average person finds out what they want to buy, and they go buy that with their tax deduction or their tax return. So say you're getting $1,000. 90% of the people do not put it into savings and keep it there. They go out and buy something. We need a new couch. We need a new TV. We need to do this thing in the car that we've been waiting for a long time. Now, that's legitimate. There are some things that are legitimate to use like a tax return from or special things that come in, special money that comes in. But remember, if you don't have an emergency fund and you spend your money outright, right when you get it, you won't have any money around when you really need it. And that's what's so important, is having money when you need it. Again, life is to be intentional. You need to have full control of your life. And when you have other people that you owe money to, you don't have full control of your life. You don't own anything. You only own the clothes on your back. Basically, that's it. Because everything that you have a loan on, all the big items, can be taken back. It can be taken away. So how do you overcome this? Be intentional. Be intentional with how you spend money. And be intentional with how you save money. Also be intentional with your investments. Don't take from your emergency fund to pay for an investment. You worked hard for the emergency fund and you're going to need it in the future. Everyone needs an emergency fund at some point. So, and if you don't need to use your emergency fund and emergency comes up, say like the furnace goes out and you have to buy a new furnace. Well, maybe you have to tap into your emergency fund. Maybe you could also turn it into your home insurance. Maybe not the furnace, but like your roof. You don't have to spend a ton of money on certain things if you find ways around it as well. So, but the emergency fund is there if you need it. And especially with our experience with 2008 and now 2021 through 2024, people have been laid off constantly because of the economy. Not what they're doing, but because of the economy. And so because of the economy, a lot of people have been using their emergency fund. People are putting huge amounts of money on credit cards. Don't do this. Don't get stuck in the rat race where you're just hoping to survive. Pay off your debts, create an emergency fund, and live life because you're in control. Again, nobody else is in control. So if we haven't made you a debt-free millionaire zealot yet, we will. Promise you. Stay with us. We're going to teach you so much about finances, about investing, about living life. That's true. It's about living life. We want you to win in this life, have full control, and I'll leave it at that. Thank you so much for joining me on this Debt-Free Millionaire podcast and personal finance course, and we will catch you next time. Thank you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.